great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to save more and spend less. And don't let anyone ever rip you off. Clark.com is our main website. ClarkDeals.com is where we post bargains for you, deals on stuff you buy around the clock. Coming up in just a few minutes in today's Clarkrageous Moment, people say how much we value our veterans, and then we don't, and how they're treated. I got to tell you something that disturbed me, and something I want to make sure that you let every veteran know what I'm going to share with you in just a little while. And coming up yet later, there are certain things that are causing your vehicle insurance to go up. And I want to tell you what they are. One you can do something solidly about. Another trend you can't, but I want you to know what's going on and what to do about them. And right now, I need to give you a special warning that Google has changed when you search on your computer for something in a Google search, if you use Google search. The results present in a way that's become more difficult for you to spot what's an ad and what's an actual real search result. And that is quite disturbing to me, because anybody can be buying those ads when you do a search for a type of business or a service or whatever. And those ads that result could be a scammer, could be a company that's a ripoff, could be not even a real company at all that just bought the space and is going to cheat you in some way or another. It's also possible that somebody bought an ad that's legit, but you should know it's an ad. So know this, now you're starting to see, if you use Google routinely for search on a computer, that there's almost no delineation anymore that something is an ad. So if you look over, you'll see in little type ad, Google ad or something like that. I forgot the exact wording. And oh, it just says ad. AD, sorry, I forgot. Just ad, tiny type. So you think you're looking at an actual algorithmic response from Google when all you're seeing are the ads several in a row. You've got to know this. And you've got to look past those ads. Now, there's something else about Google results, is that we tend to only look at the first few that come up. We almost never go to the second page of results. There are times you'll do a search result on something, do a search, and the results will be hundreds of pages long. And we quit on the first page. But the best information may be on page 3. If you're searching cold for information, take more time to refine what you're seeing. Or use DuckDuckGo as your default search engine. And that's what I do. I'm looking right now on the computer, and I change my search engine on, I use Chrome, Google Chrome, but I change my search engine to DuckDuckGo. And now I don't have to worry about what's popping up. That their whole thing is to give you clean search results. And so that's something that I recommend to you to protect yourself, especially with the scams. As you've heard me talk about the things with the crooked plumbers and the dishonest locksmiths and any service trade, there've been a lot of people buying those ads that are criminal enterprises. Moving would be another area where the consequences to you of picking a mover badly can be just horrendous, where you lose all your possessions or you lose thousands and thousands of dollars by picking a mover without going through the right steps. I have on Clark.com, I have step-by-step, by the way, if you are hiring a mover, the right way to do that. Michael is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Michael.
Good afternoon, Clark. How are you today?
Great. Thank you, Michael. I hope I can be of good service to you.
I'm sure you will. I had read your article on your website about setting up a financial Chromebook, and I just had some follow-up questions for you.
Sure, and I got to tell you, I'm smiling because whenever, from when this first started, where I first started talking about using a Chromebook as a way to protect your finances from hackers, that was probably 6 years ago, I guess. And it's like an onion that keeps layering, peeling with more and more complicated questions people ask me about it. And so let me hear, what's up?
Okay. So first question I had was, when you complete the online form, do you use the old computer or the Chromebook to fill out the form?
For going to a financial website, you mean?
Yeah, let's say you wanted to open up an account with so-and-so bank, and you go to their website to fill out their form that you need to fill out online. I didn't know if you could do that on the Chromebook or on the old computer.
I would do it on the old computer.
Okay.
So the Chromebook, and, you know, people that do internet security for a living may disagree with this. In fact, we are working on a revised guide for Clark.com on this, and we want to cover as many bases of the questions people are asking. And this is the kind of question that's been coming in. But my recommendation is that before you have a relationship established with a bank, brokerage, you know, retirement account, anything like that, that you start it first on the computer you already have. But then as you maintain the account, you do that on your Chromebook.
Okay.
So the original application would be done on your existing computer, not the Chromebook, because you don't want anything to do with an email or anything like that on the Chromebook.
But then to touch upon what you just said, so when you, let's say you already have an account established with somebody, it's okay to then check your statements and everything or do transactions on the Chromebook from that point forward.
And that's the idea of it, is that you make it a safe zone, never checking email, never doing anything like that, that all you do is you use it as a cordoned off area to do things with your bank account, credit union account, brokerage account. One that came up recently in a follow-up question was, where do I want you to deal with a credit card company? And a credit card company should not be on your financial Chromebook, because a credit card is, if somebody compromises your credit card, the only thing that happens is charges are posted to it that you're not responsible for.
Right.
So the idea of the Chromebook, it's for money you have, not money you owe.
Okay. So the next question I had was, you and said on the air, and I think it was in the article also, that to open the account, if you need to get an email message, do that on your old computer, and then you're supposed to clear your history and delete the financial bookmarks on your old computer.
Correct.
And I was wondering, what is the reason for doing that step?
You don't want anything, if somebody gets into, if you have a Windows computer or a Mac, like there's this new virus that's attacking Macs right now. If you're using a mainstream computer, which would be a Windows or a Mac, they are so vulnerable to the viruses that any information that you have on there is vulnerable to what a hacker would do, or a virus would be downloaded, or anything like that. Since you can't download viruses to a Chromebook, you have a higher level of protection than you do on a Mac or a Windows computer.
Okay, so if you were to visit those sites on your computer, then you would be setting, or your old computer, you'd be setting yourself up potentially.
That's the idea, and that's why, especially, see, with the bank account, somebody hacks in to your bank account, the law gives you clear rights as an individual, not as a business, but as an individual, to have your money restored, even if it was not a hack of the bank system, it was in fact a hack of your computer. So with bank accounts, credit union accounts, you have a lower level of risk. But with a 401k, any kind of retirement account, any kind of brokerage account, mutual fund account, the law does not give ironclad protection for you as a consumer. And that's where the Chromebook, and most money is in those, not in banks. That's why using a Chromebook becomes so important as a way of protecting yourself.
Okay, so if you don't have a separate Google account for your Chromebook, and let's say you go to the bank's website on your Chromebook, then that'll show up on your history of your old computer, right?
The history of your old computer, no. But if you were to,
if you're in your Google account on your Chromebook, I thought that
it would store history across platforms. Okay, I'll check on that. I'll check on that. But you know, the suggestion that came from two different technology people that we started saying a couple years ago is you should use a separate Gmail account on your financial Chromebook. And that way you segregate out as much as you possibly can, and you wouldn't have to worry about whether that's even a factor, what you just brought up. So this is one that's a continuing work in progress. It speaks to the desire and determination of hackers to get to our money, and doing the simplest things we can do to protect ourselves as best as possible is what I'm about. And using a Chromebook is a way for you to provide a layer of protection you will not have with a Windows computer or a MacBook. And the great news with Chromebooks, they've been as cheap as $59 lately, routinely $99. So not a lot of money to protect yourself from potential significant financial harm. Stan is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Stan.
Hi, Clark. How you doing?
Great. Thank you, Stan. Your wife's a Beatles song, right?
What's that?
Your wife's a Beatles song. When I'm 64?
Yes, she is. That's exactly right. And we'd like to retire and unshackle her from a job. However, the cost of health care is just prohibitive on the exchanges. So I just wanted to see if you had any suggestions to cover us until she got eligible for Medicare.
Okay, so this is tough because the years between about age 58 and 64 are not nearly as expensive to insure as they used to be because of the way the Obamacare exchanges work, but it's still a brutal expense to insure, in her case, just 1 year. So
correct.
Is it not practical for her to stay till she's 65? Because I have an alternative if it's not.
Well, it's doable, but two things we like to do. Number one is that limits what travel we can do to 12 days. She's working part-time now every other weekend just to keep up her insurance. So to hack out bigger portions to make the long trips, like, for example, we'd like to drive all the way across country on two-lane roads. Can't do that in 12 days.
Right.
Number two, we'd like to go ahead and move to near one of our children. And so that would mean she'd have to go pick up a new job, which we really don't want to do.
Okay.
So
what
it's
about
not totally
Cobra?
Practical, but,
how much is Cobra? Have you checked to see what that is versus?
I think her Cobra would be around $750.
$750 a month?
Yes.
Okay. Don't fall over and hit your head when I say this, but that's not horrible.
Yeah, it's not big. You're right. Although
so if
paying
it buys you
now for the same thing, you know.
Sorry, how much is it now for her health coverage?
She's paying about $120 a month.
So we're talking about over the how many months is it till she turns 65 and becomes Medicare eligible?
She just had her birthday this month, so it'll be 11 months.
11 months. So we're talking about roughly $6,000 and change for her to be free and
yeah.
You to be able to do what you want. If that's an expense you can afford to absorb, gets you near the kids, gets you the ability to travel, just pay that, because I'm guessing that's significantly cheaper than buying coverage on the exchange for a year.
About half.
Right.
Or less than half.
So
yeah.
Cobra is the answer.
Yeah. Okay. Is there any other like the old catastrophic coverage, you know, used to be.
Yeah,
at least
so you're allowed to buy a short-term medical policy today. Mm-hmm. The problem with those is they don't cover pre-existing conditions, and the limitations on coverage are quite severe. So you have to weigh the difference between spending $6,000 rough dollars versus spending several thousand less to cover those 11 months. But the downside risk is so very great with no coverage for pre-existings and not true, real, robust coverage if your wife does have an illness, a serious illness.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Today's Clark Radius moment is a heads up. There's a new report I saw on MarketWatch that a huge number of homeless veterans are eligible for special housing vouchers that were designed to deal with the problem of homeless vets from the Vietnam War and from the first Gulf War. And there are unused 11,000 vouchers right now for homeless vets. I think about it, freeway exits, you'll see somebody holding up a sign, or there'll be a homeless person at an exit asking for money, and they say, homeless vet, need to eat or whatever. The reality is they need to know that there is this fantastic voucher program available from the VA. VA is not really doing anything to let people know. I want you to let people know. You have a family member or a friend who's having a tough time as a vet. Make sure they know to ask for the housing voucher for military vets. Glad you're with us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you being empowered with knowledge so you can keep more of what you make. Clark.com is our main website. ClarkDeals.com is where you go to save money each and every day on the stuff you buy. Now, it's hard to save money on auto insurance. It's become a more difficult process. Auto insurance rates have gone up roughly 50% in 8 years. And at first, there was a time period when people became obsessed with looking at their smartphones while they were driving that fatality rates around the country went way, 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 way up. Now, as a number of states have put in these laws about texting while driving, the number of people dying in vehicle accidents has gone down. I know we still see a lot of people looking at their phones, weaving in lanes and stuff, who should be focused on the road. But there is a new pain point that Wired points out if you are caught texting while you're driving. The cost of the ticket is nothing compared to what it does to your auto insurance rates. So you do not want to get caught texting while you're driving, because your rates will go up by 20%+, somewhere between 20 and 25% on average for you getting a texting while driving ticket. Now, that's factor number one. Now, here's one of the great ironies. Vehicles now have so many safety devices on them that are in a whole new league now that are designed to prevent an accident rather than to reduce the possibility of injury or fatality once you have one. This is a huge leap in safety where you prevent the bad thing from happening in the first place. And think of all the things on the vehicles, rear cross-traffic warnings, lane departure warnings, blind spot warnings that you're about to change into a lane with another vehicle that you don't see in your blind spot, and the vehicle lets you know. There are the automatic emergency braking technologies that may not prevent an accident, but even if there is an accident, often the possibility of injury is greatly reduced because the automatic emergency braking reacted so quickly. So that's not what's causing insurance to go up, that accidents may be less severe or less often. Guess what is? Let's say you're in a fender bender. Well, in that fender now are all kinds of gizmos and gadgets for safety. I think about my car has stuff all around it. It has radar. It has cameras. It's got, I think, like 6 cameras on the car and radar all over the place. It's got, you can see the radar thingies. I should know how many, that's a technical term, radar thingies. I don't know how many of them there are. So you get hit, minor thing, and the insurer may say, this is too hard, this is too expensive, you know, because one thing would have been just to fix the fender. Now they got to fix all the advanced electronics. And a lot of times, a single airbag will deploy in an accident, and they'll total the vehicle out, even if the overall damage to the vehicle is relatively minor. It's just how insurance works. So the cost of all these total outs is having an impact on vehicle insurance rates. But I do think that the really good news is that as the vehicle fleet, the average vehicle about 12 years old, as vehicles turn over in the fleet, every vehicle that replaces an older vehicle has a lot more safety devices on it. And I don't know if you know the thing Ford's doing, but Ford is installing on all their vehicles, I think in 2021, all of them will have it, that allow the vehicles to talk to each other. And as automakers add that, vehicles will actually be able to communicate with each other that there's danger. They'll be able to notice red lights. My vehicle has that where it warns me right on the dash when I'm approaching a red light, so that if I'm kind of zoning out, right on my dash, it shows the light is red. The cool thing is, you know, this time of year with the sun low on the horizon, if I'm driving and I'm at a red light where it's blinding, trying to look at the light because of how low the sun is in the morning or the evening, I don't have to look at the light anymore. I just look at my dash, and it shows me when the light turns green, and I know when to go. So the safety that's so much a part of the future is going to bend this curve, and both accidents and then the attendant injuries and unfortunate fatalities. I think we're at a really good place as you look forward. And put down that phone. Did you hear me? Put it down. Brian's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Clark.
How's it going, Brian?
Good. How are you?
Great. Thank you. So, Brian, which branch of the military are you in?
It was my grandfather. He was in the Air Force.
Well, so your USAA membership in your family is passed down from your grandfather to a parent to you.
Yes, sir.
That's pretty great.
Well, I was wondering if I should open up, start a bank with a credit union, or is USAA the same as a credit union or even like similar?
So USAA is great for people who are mobile. They do a wonderful job. And they were very early in having a truly online-only kind of bank account. I mean, before the internet, they used to have a thing where you would go to, trying to remember if it was FedEx offices and mail in your deposits. I mean, they were really, really early on mobile banking. So the ease of use with doing a checking account with USAA is great. They pay a certain amount of ATM fees that you might run up in a month. They absorb those. And so it's a straight out good deal. But you might find that if you have really simple needs for checking, that you might get a better deal at a credit union, or maybe even a better deal with one of the online banks that pay interest on your checking.
The reason why I wanted to switch is because I want to get a mortgage within like 2 years. So that's why I was considering a credit union.
Yeah, so credit unions do great deals on mortgages. USAA has a big mortgage operation.
Yeah, I looked into it, and I was trying to compare them, and I just wanted to see what you would
you
think,
do both?
What you thought was a better.
Why don't you do both? I mean, you could put a little bit in each, you know, do a checking account with whichever one seems more convenient to you, and do a savings account with the other so that you have access to both as an active customer.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, I mean, we're talking about two things that are both great. So, so it really is, look at a credit union, see the convenience factors, what they pay you, you know, on your savings, what they require for you to get free checking. Do they pay you any interest on checking? And then you'll be able, once you look at the actual offerings from a credit union you're considering, and then what's available from USAA Bank, you'll see what's going to be best for you. Deborah's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Deborah.
Good morning. Good afternoon, I guess.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
I answer any time of the day or night.
Very good.
So how can I be of service, Deborah?
Okay. Ohio has started in 2020 charging owners of hybrid and electric cars, I call it a penalty fee. Our license tags are going to cost more now because we have a hybrid or an electric. I have a hybrid, and it's $100 extra that I'm going to have to pay when I renew my tags. And my hybrid is 10 going on, 10 years old, and I'm wondering, you know, is it worth it to stay with a hybrid?
Yeah, because how many miles per gallon are you getting in the hybrid?
I don't monitor that as well as some people do. I just checked my display, and it was giving me between 45 and 48, and that's a combination of long distance and local driving.
All right, so that's about double the average vehicle. And how many miles do you drive in a year, would you guess?
10 to 12. I'm not a real car person. So
yeah, you're driving 10,000 to 12,000 miles. That's a significant number of gallons. Even though the $100 fee for a hybrid is a real insult, it is worth it for you to pay that fee. Do you pay that above and beyond, or is it $100 instead of a lower fee for a mere mortal gas car?
Oh, no. It's above and beyond.
So, okay. So the $100 is way more than what your share of motor vehicle tax would be.
Correct.
And in a typical state, the cost of the foregone gasoline tax for an electric car versus a gas engine is typically somewhere around $80. But the states are passing these laws to protect certain special interests. And so if you were to charge a driver of a hybrid or a driver, particularly of an electric vehicle, a road use fee each year that was equivalent to what they'd be missing in gas tax, that would be even Steven. But in a lot of states, the fee, particularly for electric vehicles, is being set three times what the actual gas taxes are missing. So it is just a mean-spirited punitive tax.
I guess I feel like I'm pumping gas as kind of as much as my budget allows, and now they're hitting me with this.
But still, if you were having to pay for gasoline for 12,000 miles at half the fuel economy you're getting, you'd be paying a lot more over the course of a year.
So okay, good to know.
I would just, you got a 10-year-old vehicle, it's working fine.
It is.
Don't dump it prematurely. Just keep driving it. Let Ohio steal the $100 from you. And just know that there was some ulterior motive behind it, that the fee was set that high, and that your members of the Ohio legislative bodies were not looking out for citizens as they should. They were looking out protecting some special interest.
Well, thank you for taking time to speak with me.
Of course. And it just bugs me so much when members of legislative bodies do things that they run for office saying they're there for the people, but they're really for whoever the special interests are that give them money, that take them out to dinner and all the rest. And there is not any legitimate reason to charge these ultra-high punitive fees because they are not at all equivalent. I have a responsibility to pay for the roads just like anybody else, but I shouldn't be robbed from simply because of the type of vehicle that I choose to drive. George joins us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, George. How you doing?
Hi there. I'm fine. Thanks for having me on.
Certainly. You want to talk about gasoline as well. We just talked just a few minutes ago with somebody about gasoline. What's up?
Well, I think I have a good, worthwhile tip for those of your listeners who are still using gas-powered vehicles. And I heard your clip the other day about warning about using credit and debit cards at gas pumps. And I thought that I have a suggestion that some of your viewers might utilize, which I find useful for myself. What I do is I go to the grocery store and I buy a gas gift card, and I use that at the gas pump. You know, that way I don't have to go inside and pay, which, you know, I think takes away the convenience of paying at the pump. And I think there's some more safety in using a credit card at a grocery store, at least I hope so for the time being.
Yeah, because the grocery stores are pretty much 100% chip reader compliant.
Mm-hmm. And then I have the added benefit, the grocery store I happen to use has a program where when you buy groceries, you get fuel points. So not only do the groceries count toward the fuel points, when I buy the cards, they count toward the fuel points. And by the time I need to fill up with over 10 gallons of gas, I usually save about 50 cents per gallon. So I think that's added benefit too.
That is a great suggestion. And the criminals aren't really interested in emptying your gas card. They're interested in emptying your checking account. You probably wouldn't have enough money on that gas card that even if it did get emptied, you wouldn't like it, but you'd be okay.
Right.
Yeah, so that's a good idea and a good suggestion. And a lot of the supermarket chains have been doing these promotions where you get discounted gasoline in return for your grocery shopping. So this is a perfect twofer tie-in. So I love the idea. And by the end of this year, hopefully, all gas stations will have put in the new technology and will no longer have these vulnerabilities to the criminals hacking in when you use pay at the pump. And Joel, I think we have time for and ask Clark here. What's up?
Yeah, Clark, we do. We got a question from Heather. She says, how do you find credit cards that offer the one-time use numbers for online purchases? Strangely, one of my cards has been hacked twice in a month, even after getting a new number, but no one else has access to the card but me. I'm tired of this happening.
So if you're with a big issuer, they may offer the single-use numbers and you just don't know it. So always ask them if they offer the single-use numbers. There's also a website I've mentioned before, privacy.com, that will help you with this so that you are protecting your number as it transmits to pay. But as an example, Capital One offers it, but people don't know and don't ask for it, is one of the biggest issuers. And it's something that is in the interest of the credit card company and your interests as well, for them to protect the payment system and give you a way to pay that's not going to be vulnerable. I appreciate you taking the time to post and ask Clark. Just go, if you have a question for me, just go to clark.com/ask and post away. And we have multiple ways of answering your question. This is the Clark Howard Show. Thanks for joining us today. The Clark Howard Show is produced by Kim Drobes, Joel Larsgaard, Deborah Reese, and Jim Ayers. And remember, 24 hours a day, we're there to serve you at clark.com and clarkdeals.com.